Dear Father, better is one day living in the presence of you, Lord, and walking through our days with you beside us, Lord, than any day we could ever walk this earth without knowing you as our Heavenly Father, Lord. We thank you for this gift and this day as a resurrection day, a day to celebrate and worship you, Lord, for the many blessings you give us, Lord. We thank you that we are here before you today, Lord, and we thank you for the mothers who helped give us life that brought us here today as well, Lord. We ask that you would be with us in this service, Lord. We know that you are everywhere, and we know that you are hearing our prayers, but Lord, there are two or more here, and we are asking for your blessing on this time, Lord. I pray for the nursery and the workers in there, Lord, as they minister to our smallest, our youngest, Lord, our future brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. I pray that you would give them love and patience and a heart to share your word with them in the ways that the children can understand. Father, for those downstairs in Children's Church today talking about the importance of mothers and fathers and honoring your parents, Lord, I pray that you would draw them close to you and that you would use this message and these volunteers to make a difference, an eternal difference in the lives of our children, Lord, so that they may leave this place and that they may grow up, Lord, and become the people that you want them to be, making a difference in the world that you want them to make. Father, I pray with the moms and the regular people who cannot be here today, Lord, that are out traveling and being with their loved ones and celebrating this time, Lord, I pray that you would be with them and that you would keep them safe, Lord. And I thank you for this opportunity to come before you with this family here in this church, in this town, at this time to worship you together as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. Please use this time to make a difference for your kingdom and help us to make a difference for your kingdom as we walk from here today changed. And Father, let the words that I am sharing today be your words and not mine. And Father, use them for your glory and your honor. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Thanks. I get the stool. I never sit when I preach. It just feels not right to me, but I'm going to stand up here. So I am really excited to be here and that I get to talk to you guys on Mother's Day. So obviously I don't get Mother's Day off, which is kind of a bummer, but that's okay. There's a lot of things that we need to discuss about Mother's Day before we begin, and one of those things is that Mother's Day is beautiful, and it is special, and it's heartwarming, and it's heartbreaking. It's loving, and sometimes it's painful. It can be many things, but mostly it is a blessing. Without moms, no matter how good, bad, or indifferent they were, we wouldn't be here. So yay, moms. Okay, we're here. We are here for a purpose and a reason, and I am glad we are here today. I love Mother's Day. I love it. But I also grieve on Mother's Day. My own mother's been gone for 18 years. I miss her. It's natural. It's appropriate. If you're grieving, and I know there's been a couple people in our congregations who've lost mom this year, it's okay. It's normal. I understand. But I want you to think about something for a minute. You have been given a blessing by that woman who helped give you birth and bring you into this world, and you are to go out and make a difference for God with that life, with that gift of life that you have been given. Thank you, Mom, for the gift of life. Let's use it and make a difference for God's kingdom. It's okay if you're a little sad today. It's okay if it's a bittersweet day. That's all right. It should be. But thank God for the blessing of life and the person who gave it to you. Now, I brought with me some pictures today because, you know, mothers like to have brag books and those kind of things. And though most of my kids are grown, I thought I should bring my brag book with me. So do you want to grab that first one up there? This is something that Annie used to make for me on a regular basis. She was completely embarrassed in the first message. She didn't realize I was going to use this. Ha, ha, ha. Every day when she was younger, she would write the news for our house, okay? So whatever was going on in the house, she would write a story and share it with us. We had the morning news, and we had the evening news. This is an excerpt from November 16th, 2006. And I'm going to read this to you because it's actually kind of interesting, and it pertains to Joshua Ward. It says, "Today was picture day at the library. Sue Dutton was the photographer. There. In Mrs. Palma's class, there was two great smiles. One belonged to Miss Alicia Dutton, and the other belonged to Mr. Alex Anderpaul Cusimano," because Alex thought his middle name was Anderpaul, not Alexander Paul, but Anderpaul. "So Alex Anderpaul Cusimano. And let me tell you, they both have great smiles. Today at Charlie's," I'm supposed to be Charlie's, I think, "it says, Joshy cut his finger in the door, poor Joshy, and he said he cut his finger on the door, but how? There's nothing sharp on the door. Oh, well, we might find out, or not, by Annie Cusimano. And then the weather up in the corner, misty, rain, cloudy, damp, so what do you think of them apples? That is my daughter's creation," and she was very verbal in writing, and I got notes around around the house and the daily news. And the daily, I couldn't wait for the daily news because every day it was really something quite interesting. The next picture I'm going to show you is a clay pot that Ryan made for me when he was in fifth or sixth grade. It is one of my favorite pieces, better than anything we could buy in a store. And I use it every day. As you can see, I keep my cooking utensils in there. And every time I use that pot, I think of Ryan. And it's special to me. I will never get rid of it, and hopefully it will never break. But it is very dear to me, and it's one of those things that you get to keep. You get to keep. Next one. This is a fish that Alex painted on a rock when he was in an ecology camp, I believe, with Shannon Albert a few years ago. This fish is on my back porch. It greets me when I come home, says goodbye when I leave. And every day I look at the fish and I think of Alex, and I will keep that fish forever, unless the fish falls off the rock, and then I probably won't keep the rock. But anyway, here's the fish that Alex made me. And the last one, this is by my son Mark, who is now 28. He turns 28 tomorrow, actually. And this is done in kindergarten. This is a picture of me, the stick figure, next to a volcano. And when he was five, his two favorite things were me and a volcano. That's pretty good. I was kind of worried for a while there that this had something to do with temper, but no, it's okay. I'm all right. But those were his two favorite things when he was in kindergarten. Every time we went to the library, checked out all the volcano books, and he couldn't say it right. He called them volpinos. So it was Mom and volpinos. We totally rocked it when he was in kindergarten. He would be. I'm so sending him this message online to let him know that I showed everyone this wonderful necklace. But these are the wonderful things that my kids have made for me. These are the things that I get to keep. These are part of the memories that I get to cherish and I get to ponder, okay? And I have loved being a mother, okay? I have completely enjoyed it, completely and totally. And sometimes when you're in the midst of it, you don't realize you're enjoying it. But in the last year, I realized how much I truly enjoyed it. Because as Pastor John and I were planning this sermon series, we're sitting in his office and we were discussing, you know, it's going to be leading, training, loving, and the last one's going to be about leaving. And I was like, I don't want to talk about that. And I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah, I can talk to that one. In the last 9 months, three of my children have left home. I can talk about that one. I'm right there. It's different. So today, I get to share with you the importance of the biblical concept of letting go. And it's not easy, but it's necessary. Grab your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. This was written by Solomon, who shares with us about the desires to find meaning in life and the understanding that true meaning, though we toil and do many other things, only comes through our relationship with Christ. And that's what we're going to look at today. Ecclesiastes 3, starting with verse 1. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heavens. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them in. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. There's a time for everything, and even so with our children, there's a time to let go. And I want to share some important things about letting go with you today, and the first thing I want to share with you is that it is good. It's good to let go. The past few weeks we were talking about leading, training, loving, and today leaving. Leading meaning by leading by example, reading the Bible at the table, letting your children see your faith, taking your kids to church, showing them how to do things together, training. If you were here and you were hearing Pastor John's message, and some of the children here were hearing it too, the comment, wrong answer, when you ask why your parents tell you to do something when it should be, yes, Dad, yes, Mom, and they say why, and you say, wrong answer. It's part of the training. And I know for a fact that Alex Cusimano, Brant and Noah Hall, and Megan Joy's kids don't like the phrase, wrong answer. Good job, parents. High five, all right? Loving. By helping them, as the last week was loving, it's by helping them to become the person that God wants them to be and not trying to make them into mini yous or live vicariously through your children, but to help them to become who God has them to be by loving them that much. To let them be who they are meant to be. You see, everything that we've been doing through this whole series and through raising our own children is leading up to the next chapter. We have to go to the next chapter. And my question is, how do you view the next chapter? Now, there are some people who view the chapter as a wonderful thing. All right, the kids are getting out, they're growing up, I don't have to change diapers. They're looking forward to it. It's like, leave. My oldest son, Mark, had come home for a spell after a really rough year, and he left in January to go in the service. He needed to leave. Yes, good, let's go. It's healthy. You gotta let go. It's time to go. It's healthy. And then some parents look forward to, woohoo, peace and quiet. I can do my own thing. I don't have to do all this stuff for my kids all the time. And then there's those who are like, yes, grandchildren, woohoo, that's next. All right, it's time for the next chapter, and letting go is part of that. But some parents view it as the end of life as they know it, because they've invested the last 18 years constantly doing things for their kids, taking them places, football, baseball, basketball, little league, taekwondo, gymnastics, you name it. And their whole entire lives have been focused around what their kids are doing, and they have completely lost touch with themselves. When their kid walks out that door, they aren't going to know what to do with themselves. So some people are looking forward to, bye, it's time to go. And some people are dreading it because they've lost their life. Now, what we're leading up to is good. Letting go is good, but it doesn't always feel good. And I understand that. It doesn't feel good to let go sometimes, but it is absolutely necessary. There's a time to be born and a time to die. And all that time in the middle between birth and death, there's a lot of time and a lot of stuff that happens in between that. And it's good stuff. Might not always feel good. Might not always seem good. But God has a plan between those two ends. You've got your kids. You've got being born, getting the first tooth, walking, potty training, preschool, kindergarten, graduating out of elementary school into middle school, going to the first dance, getting a driver's license, experiencing the first broken heart, graduating from high school, going to college, leaving home, going into the military, leaving home, going to get an apartment, going to get a job. All of these things are those things that happen in those seasons. And even if the days are difficult and the seasons are difficult, it's still good. The seasons need to happen. The seasons prepare us and they prepare them. The second thing after letting go is being good is that it's healthy. It's completely healthy, guys. Looking at our passage, we can see that there are ups and downs in life. Solomon shared, you know, a time for being born, a time for dying, a time for rejoicing, a time for weeping. Ups and downs, ups and downs. That's everyone's life. No one is exempt from that. But the ups and downs along the journey of parenting serve a purpose, a very important purpose. First of all, they shape us into who we are as parents. I promise you that I am not the same person I was 28 years ago tomorrow, when they placed my first child in my arms at the hospital. I am not that same person. If you want to call Mark up on the phone, you ask him, you parent different. You're da, 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 da. The little kid's got it easier than I. I am not the same person. I'm relaxed in my parenting. It's not my first child. I'm not freaking out about everything. But I am not the same person, and I wouldn't want to be the same person that I was when they placed him in my arms. These trials, these ups and downs, this journey of parenting grows us up as well in the person who God wants us to be. But not only does it shape us, it shapes our children. God has a plan for them too. And they have to experience the ups and downs. I'm sorry, guys. They're going to fall. They're going to get hurt. They're probably going to get bullied. Everybody does at one point or another. They're going to get hurt feelings. They're going to get a broken heart. But they're also going to have good days and successes and triumphs. It's part of what trains us. It's what, in part, grows us up for us to be adults and for them to become adults. That the trials and the ups and downs train us to weather the storms of life. And none of us is going to escape storms in life. We're all going to have them. But all of these things, these trials, these difficulties, these days, this learning, makes us to the person who we are supposed to be. Whatever used to freak me out and mess me up as a mom 28 years ago doesn't do that now. Why? Because God used those trials and those ups and downs to grow me up, just as he uses them to grow you guys up as parents. And these trials and these ups and downs, they help us truly appreciate what is good and wonderful in our lives. If it was Christmas every day, we wouldn't appreciate it. So the ups and downs, they remind us how blessed we are. They give us joy. We have reasons to celebrate. We wouldn't want it to be Christmas every day. A lot of times we find with parents now, my kid needs to be happy. Happy, 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 happy. My kid needs to be happy. No! Were you guys always happy? I wasn't always happy. I didn't need to always be happy. Not always being happy grew me up a little bit, I would hope. The sole purpose of raising your kids isn't to make them happy. It's to put them to work for God, to make a difference in his kingdom, to not be selfish about themselves. It's not about always being happy. It's not possible. And that's okay. It's healthy. And this passage that we're talking about today, it shows us that we are all subject to the human condition. We're all going to experience these things, these joys, these sorrows, tearing, mending, leaving, gathering stones, scattering stones. We're all subject to the human condition. We're all subject to changes, losses, joys, and sorrows, but we do it together. It's healthy, guys. It's healthy because allowing the trials of each season to teach both us and our children how to survive and how to thrive and how to be who God wants us to be. And it'll hopefully, if we're doing this right, keep us from having our 31-year-old son or daughter living in our basement apartment with their girlfriend out partying every weekend. We don't want that, okay? We got to let them go, and sometimes we got to tell them to go. It's okay. It's healthy. Now, I'm not picking on grown children living at home. My son just left after a very difficult year, and he had a year to get himself in order, and that is what he has done. Situations are situations. It's when you don't let them go, you don't let them launch, you don't make them launch, that you've got a problem. Because there is a time to let go. It's kind of like when you were a little kid, okay? Letting go doesn't feel healthy, but it is very healthy. But like your parents take you to your friend's house, and they're all visiting and having a good time. And you're having a blast with the kids. You're running around the yard. You're having a fantastic time. And then your parents say, it's time to go. And your kid's like, ah! Time, this is fantastic. No, you gotta go. Well, then the shoe changes onto the other foot, and your kids grow up, and you were having fun raising them, and it was great, and it was fantastic. And then all of a sudden, it's time for them to go. And you're the one, I don't want them to go. This is terrible. I was having too much. Don't. Try not to feel that way. Andy, you got that cartoon for me? This is kind of what it sums it up. If this doesn't sum it up, I don't know what will, okay? Your kid doesn't want to go to school, and then you just like, you don't want him to go. And that's life, but it's healthy. As much as I try to convince you it's healthy, it doesn't always feel good. But there's a lot of things that we have to do that don't feel good. Canned peas, I hate canned peas, but they're green and they're healthy, and I will occasionally eat them. It doesn't feel good to me, but it's necessary. Health. Going to the doctors, taking your medicine. Who wants to take medicine? I don't take medicine, but I'm going to do it because it'll make me healthy. I don't want to let go of my kids, but I got to do it because it's healthy. Now, I want to talk to you briefly about helicopter parenting. That's just going to have to come up because it has to come up in this message. The definition of helicopter parenting is this: being involved in a child's life in a way that is over-controlling, over-protecting, and over-perfecting, in a way that is in excess of responsible parenting. Are you an excessively responsible parent? That is my question. The phrase was actually coined in 1969 by a French dude. His name was Haim Guinou. I think that's how you say it. But anyway, he's the one who coined the phrase, and at that point in time, it was mostly leaning towards high school and college students, okay? It was the parents who were calling, well, my kid can't be in that class. I can't have my kid. Why did my kid get that grade? My kid is exceptionally smart, and they shouldn't have gotten that grade. That teacher just doesn't like my kid, and I need to do something about it, and we got to change it because that is just completely unacceptable. My child, my child, my child. That's not healthy. Adults making those decisions and those choices and facing the consequences for their children when it is their children's job. But we even see the helicopter parenting, especially in preschool and elementary age children. Well, I'm making sure my kid doesn't get that teacher, and my kid is going to be on that baseball team, and my kid isn't going to be friends with those kids. My friend is only going to be friends with that kid. What is that? Overparenting, falling around. Am I going to say I fall down? It's okay. You got to fall down once in a while. Now, the question is, what motivates helicopter parenting, okay? What motivates it? Well, number one, the first one, the biggest one, is fear of dire consequences to your child. Something horrible, terrible is going to happen to your child if you are not constantly watching over him and her and monitoring every move. That's what motivates it. What else motivates it? Anxiety. You're an anxious parent. You got anxiety over everything your child does, every breath they take, every move they make. And here you are, freaking out. They've got the sniffles. They're going to die. No, they're not. They're going to be okay, okay? They're going to be okay. Another reason that motivates helicopter parents is the pressure to perform better than other parents. Comparing your parenting to another person's parenting. Quit it. That's just ridiculous. The bottom line here is that God gave you your kids with a special plan in mind. Not every parent is the same. Not every parent is going to make the same choices. Not every parent does things that other parents think they should do. It's not a game of comparison. God had a special plan when he gifted you with these children. You are to raise them in the nurture and admonition of him. And how you do that is how you do that. He aligned this family. He knows what he's doing. Don't compare yourself. Don't try and be super mom. Do what's right for your family, because every family is different. And the last one that motivates helicopter parenting is not trusting God for the safety and guidance and well-being of your child. If you're not able to trust God with the safety and well-being of your child and trust that he has a plan for him, you need to work on your relationship with God, because if you know God, like you should know God, you don't have to fear that. You won't have to be afraid. If you're struggling with that, know God better. Know God better. Now, there are results and consequences for helicopter parenting, and we're going to talk about that too. Number one is decreased confidence and self-esteem in the kid. Well, I can't do that right. Every time I tried to do it, mom or dad would step in and fix it for me. Well, I guess I can't do that right, so why should I even try? I'll just get someone else to do it for me. I'm not good enough. Or there is also, let's see, underdeveloped coping skills. Oh my goodness, this person was yelling at me at work and I don't know what to do, so I'm going to completely fall apart and I'm going to run home to mom. Mom, 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 this person is yelling at me. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with this conflict. Oh my goodness. I don't know how to cope. Mom, Dad, go fix it. I don't want to have to fix it. That's not good either. Increased levels of anxiety. Children who have helicopter parents are anxious kids. I'd be anxious too if I didn't think I could do anything. If my parents did everything for me. What am I going to do if Mom or Dad aren't here to help me? I can't do this on my own. You're going to have anxiety. This is one of my favorites, sense of entitlement. Sense of entitlement. Well, everyone's done everything for me thus far. They should continue to do everything for me up to this point. Think about this for a minute, and I'm not bashing the elections in any way. after the Trump elections, we had to have pizza and counseling days because I didn't get my own way. I didn't get my president. And I'm not saying that people, if Hillary had won, it wouldn't have been the same on the other side. That is the age group. We've got entitlement. I didn't get my own way. I need to lay down and die and have someone bring me pizza. No. No. Don't make them entitled. And the last one is underdeveloped life skills. If you've got a helicopter parent, you probably don't know how to do laundry. You don't know how to cook anything other than maybe in a microwave. You don't know how to balance the checkbook. These are the things that we're supposed to be teaching our kids, but if we're helicoptering and we're doing everything that they need, that they should be doing, then we're making them unhealthy. And letting go needs to be healthy. It's healthy to let go, but not letting go causes more problems for them and for you in the long run. And now if you're seeing any of this in you, get help, please. You want your kids to grow up in health. Everyone, if I asked everyone in this room, do you want your kid to be raised up healthy, confident, mature, and able to do everything that they need to do as an adult? You're all going to raise your hand. But if you're doing this helicopter parenting thing, it's not going to happen. And I know that's not what you want for your kids. There are things you need to do. You need to get help with that. And one of the first things you need to do is learn to identify opportunities to step back. Oh, my kid's in this bind. It's a mess. I really want to get into it. Mama Bear wants to climb out of the cave, but Mama Bear's got to zip it. And I've got to give my kids the opportunity to take care of this problem on their own. It's not fun. It's not easy. It doesn't feel good, but it's healthy. It's healthy, guys. You see, you have to let your kids take risks. And you have to be willing to let them take risks, because every single one of us have let our kids take risks. You let them learn how to walk, right? At some point in time, you had to let go. We would have a really big problem if all these adults were walking in here with someone still holding their arms up as they walked. We'd still be laying on the floor in diapers if we didn't learn how to walk. It's healthy. We had to do it, but your kids had to fall down to do it. And you had to sit there and really hope and pray they didn't get hurt and watch them get back up and try again. Same thing with a bike. You're pushing them down the street on a bike. At some point in time, you're going to have to let go because you don't want to spend the rest of your life hanging onto the back of that bike, running behind them, trying to keep them upright. That's not your job. There's an end to that job. Letting go is a good thing because this is everything that we have worked for since the moment of conception. They're here. And this is the end point. This is the part where we get to launch. This is the part where we get to see where they go, how far they fly, or if they flop out of the nest and we have to sit there and watch them stand up and try again. It's not fun, but it's right and it's healthy, okay? This person that God blessed you with was your responsibility to raise them, but not to keep them. And that person is for God's glory and honor, not your glory and honor. It's for Him. He has blessed you with this person for a time to raise for His glory and honor. This is the time to see the results of the beautiful tapestry that you have been working on with your child since the day they were born. Some of the threads you put in there yourself, and then they started putting their own in, and life started putting more in. And eventually it becomes a beautiful picture, and there's not so many threads in there from you anymore, but their own, as they grow and become who God wants them to be. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. God started this work of art. He's in the middle of it. Let them complete it, okay? Just because the day-to-day is going to be over when they leave does not mean that it is over, okay? And I can speak to this very well. In the last 9 months, 3 of my children left. Annie got married in September, and the first night we were home without her, Alex and I were like, man, she must have talked a lot because it's really quiet around here. And she did. But then it ensued of days of, hey, Mom, this is weird. Yeah, this is weird. This is weird. It's really weird not having her here. Yeah, it's weird. It is weird. And we started to get used to that weird. And then Ryan moved out and got his own apartment a month later. And it started all over again. Wow, this is weird. Man, this is weird. This is really weird. And so there's no other, it's just weird, okay? I mean, I went from the house at one point in time with six kids down to just me, Leo, and Alex. This is weird. And then a couple months later, Mark leaves and goes in the service. And it starts all over again. Wow, this is weird. Yeah, this is weird. This is really weird. It's just weird. It's not what we're used to. It was time to get used to a new norm, okay? Now, the amazing thing of having three kids leave home in 9 months of time, you get to kind of reevaluate yourself and redirect yourself a little bit. Some of those things that were put on hold for my life, they're not on hold anymore. That's a good thing. I didn't even know what it was like to go grocery shopping by myself for the longest time. That is so cool. It's so much savings when I don't take Leo or the kids with me. Oh, my goodness. Cost effective, let me tell you, okay? The only thing that I've really not liked about this is that when Annie moved out, she used to do my laundry, and now I have to do my own laundry. That stinks, but that's okay. It has to happen, okay? But I have time to be selfish now every once in a while, and that's okay, and it's a good thing, okay? I want you to know that it is good and it is healthy, but what we're looking at here now is the next chapter. And sometimes you don't want that chapter to end, and sometimes you're reading a really good book and you don't want that book to end. But you also don't want to stop because you want to find out what's next. And that's where you're at, okay? That's where you're at when you get to this point of letting go. You cannot be afraid to turn the page. You should be excited about turning the page, about seeing what God's going to do next. Because this life of yours, it's a real page turner. Everyone's is. And this is exciting. And as Leo and I adjust to just having Alex at home and having it be really weird, we're starting another chapter very soon. And there's a picture. Go ahead. This is not Annie's baby. This is my stepdaughter Jennifer's baby. And they are due in 18 days. This is our next chapter. Yeah, we've had lots of weird with my kids leaving and everything, but now we've got this. There's a sequel, okay? It doesn't end here. This is Jackson Cusimano due on June 1st, just so you know. And this is exciting. This is the next part. Everything that we've been waiting for. There's a time to let go. And if I don't let go and I don't let these things happen, then these things might not happen. And I want this. I completely want this. This is exciting. I'm going to be Grammy. Woohoo! Kind of weird, but exciting. This is a good thing, guys. There is another chapter. There is another book. There is more to come. But in order to do that, in order to turn the page, you have to let go of the previous page. It's not easy, but it's good, and it's healthy, and it can be exciting, and it's what God has instructed us to do. Ecclesiastes 3:14 says, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so people will fear him. Guys, it is okay that it is time to go because everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken away from it. Like Alex said during the worship music this morning, someday we're going to be worshiping together in front of our Creator. Those who've gone before us, those who are coming after us as the family of God. Nothing that God has created can be added to or taken from. It's just going to be in heaven. This is good stuff. This is fantastic. This is reason to rejoice. It's His will that we raise these children up and we let them go. Delight in His will. Trust in His will because He knows what He's doing. He knew what he was doing when he placed those children into your arms. He has a plan, and part of that plan is letting go. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for these people here, these people who were once children, who had parents, who helped them to grow up to become the people they are today, Lord, and let them go. Father, I thank you and praise you for the way that you work in our lives and the way that you use our parents to help us become the people we are to become, Lord. And for those who've had other people, grandparents, neighbors, and other loved ones who have built into their lives, Lord, I thank you for those people who cared so much and have loved us so much, Lord. And above that, I thank you for loving us and caring for us enough to send your Son to die on the cross, Lord. Help us to live our lives and as children and as parents as the way you would want us to, Lord. And help us, Lord, when it is time to let go, trusting completely in you, because you know what you're doing, Lord. You know, and you love us, and we can trust you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for our mothers, Lord. And we ask that you would bless this day and make it special for each and every mom. And Lord, and help them to know how much you appreciate and value, how much you appreciate and value them for what they've done. Lord, help us to change your kingdom through how we raise our kids. We ask these things in your name. Amen. If the ushers would come forward for tithes and offering. There are Fred books on the ends of the aisles, little black books. Fill them out, pass them to the middle, and send them back so that we will know you were here. So if you want to send a copy to your mom and say you have proof you were in church on Mother's Day, you can do that. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time that we have come to gather before you, Lord. And as we take these next few moments to give what is yours, Lord, as we give our tithes and offerings, I pray, Lord, that you would bless them, use them, and multiply them to make a difference, not only here in Cuba, but in the world, Lord. Your kingdom is the most important thing, and truly, Lord, we want to have a profound effect on it. So we pray that you would bless these things, Lord. And as well as what we are giving, Lord, I ask that you would bless the givers, who have so sacrificially given of what they have earned, Lord. But we have you to thank. We have you to thank, Lord, for our ability to earn it. So, Lord, help us to gratefully and cheerfully give to you what is yours and have you, Lord, use it for what is best in your kingdom. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Rise for the benediction. Lord, let us leave here today and be the ambassadors of your love and your hope to the world, Father. Thank you for our mothers and help us to celebrate them and honor them for what they have done, Lord. And we thank you for giving us to the families you've given us to and using us in the ways that you want to use us in the world, Lord. Help us to walk out this week and always know that you are with us and willingly share your love with those around us. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
Even still, and as the rain falls from heaven.